terrible clap. This is the worst clap I've ever seen.
Should we do it again?
No.
Yeah, come on.
And if y'all are wondering what we're talking about for nah, we're keeping this. No, so your terrible clap is being talked about. Yeah, nah. I'm calling you out. We clap so that I can sync up the podcast when I'm editing it, and Adam just gave the weakest clap I've ever seen in my life.
Well, there's lots of people around me. I don't want to clap loud. It just everyone would stare at me. Yeah. No, it's hard enough being looked at because I'm this good looking. Garbage. You know what I mean?
Garbage clap.
What do you mean, garbage? What are we talking about, Blair?
Well, we were talking about, like, we were catching up on, I was telling you about some corporate wellness stuff I've been doing. The company I work for kind of blew up last year, and I've been tasked with organizing it, which has been interesting. And so I was coming up with some games, and I get some engagement. We do these Ask the Dietitian tables, and so one was like a this or that. It'll be like cheese versus avocado or lean beef versus chicken, and you pick the two foods that are going against each other, and I ask a question. So, like, which has more cholesterol, which has more fat. And some of the answers should be straightforward, but some of them are kind of surprising.
What's the most surprising one that people are shocked at?
That beef has slightly less cholesterol than chicken, lean beef. So I'm talking about like 93.7 ground beef versus chicken breast.
Okay.
Strawberries have more vitamin C than a medium-sized orange, a cup of strawberry, like a serving of... So the serving sizes are equivalent, you know, so it's okay. Not like 6 ounces of chicken versus 3 ounces of beef. It's 4 ounces sure. of each. It's
I'm with you.
And then this one's not as nutritionally related. It's just kind of something to be engaging. But you know that ring game that you see at bars where you like try to drop the ring and catch it on the hook?
Oh yeah. Like you throw it on.
Yeah, it's a finesse game where you try to like swing the ring and hook it. They have a version of that where it's you go against each other and you move the little piece and whoever gets three in a row or whatever first beats the other person.
Yeah.
And so if they'll play against me, and if they win, they get a protein sample, like a ready to drink or something. And if they can't beat me, then they can fuck off.
That's pretty savage. do you say that as well?
All right, fuck off. No questions. You're out of here. No.
No protein. Just fuck off.
Yeah, no protein, no questions. Leave. Loser. Yeah. Nah, they can stay and ask questions, I guess. Just.
What if they ask, can they play again?
If they want to lose again. A lot of trash talking will be coming. That's one of my character flaws, is I don't know when to stop talking trash. It's my love language.
Well, less talking trash right now. What are we talking about today?
Today we are talking about what is the best exercise for fat loss.
This is a very interesting topic, since everybody thinks they have the answer on social media.
Yeah, what's your opinion right away? Best exercise for fat loss, go.
The silence should say it all.
Wow. You don't have one?
The fact that there is not one. What do you think is the best exercise for fat loss? Here we go. Go on. Say sit-ups.
Best exercise for fat loss. It's definitely sit-ups, because that's where the fat is
okay.
That I want to lose.
So if you train the muscle that has the most fat, you lose the most fat, right? Is that how it works?
You exercise it where the fat is, and that loses the fat for you.
All right. Are we going to play the ring game so I can say fuck
off?
Look,
bro. Every fitfluencer that I follow on Instagram says that sit-ups, they have the best exercise. I've written all 900 of them down so that I do every one of them when I go to the gym to burn all the fat.
Oh, my God. Well, talking on this topic, what are the most common...
Were you just triggered?
I'm still triggered right now. Honestly, I can't look at you. Like, you pissed me off.
I got a laundry list of fat loss exercises, bro.
Go on then. Let's hear some of the most common best exercises for fat loss.
So I think you nailed one. A lot of people say sit-ups. HIIT training is a big one.
Yeah.
What else? Running. Specifically running. I've heard biking is bad for fat loss. Someone told me that biking is not good for fat loss.
Cycling.
So, cycling, yeah. Running good, biking bad.
Wow.
What else? Probably squats.
Do you know what's on trend right now?
No.
Zone 2 training, like 15% incline on a hill, on a treadmill, and doing like a 3 kilometer an hour walk. That's on trend. Zone 2 training to burn the most fat.
The treadmill says right there on it that that's the fat burning zone, bro.
Well, yeah. So.
I don't know if we're gonna have get this episode finished because you just keep getting triggered the whole episode.
I can't talk to you right now. Yeah.
What didn't we did a whole episode on heart zones, right? Heart rate.
Yeah, we talked about zone 2 training as well.
Yeah.
If people want reference points, go back to that episode.
Clearly, you're very against any specific exercise for fat burning, right?
So the reason why I say that, the same way we say there's no such one food that is going to increase weight loss, fat loss, or increase fat gain, that includes sugar, by the way, there is no such exercise that will increase fat loss or decrease fat loss. And now, when I say that, that's a very controversial statement, because there's exercises that can increase how many calories burn, but that's not going to increase how much fat is lost.
So I'll defend that. I thought for at first it's going to be us versus the world on this one, but I do think that optimizing the calorie expenditure of exercise is going to lead to increased fat expenditure. You know,
so go on.
Let's say if you only have 30 or 45 minutes a day to work out, you're going to maximize fat loss by doing more high intensity, high heart rate circuit training than you are walking.
Right. But you're going to benefit more from building lean mass so that you can expend more calories.
So, and that's another interesting part of this. Like, I think one of the most common misconceptions that I hear from trainers, most specifically trainers, is the muscle burns more calories than fat at rest. So it makes you more metabolically active.
We've spoke about this. It's total weight carried around that expends more calories, but lean mass does help increase calorie burn, but it will be total weight overall, total mass that expends more.
It's muscles in motion. Building muscles without doing some form of cardio, endurance, you know, long, slow, distant type stuff. That's how you burn maximal calories, is you build muscle and then you move that muscle. Every kilogram of muscle only burns 22 calories per day at rest. So for those Americans out there, Every pound of muscle increases your metabolic rate by 10 calories per day.
Oh, I had the number as 9, but yeah, we're pretty close.
Yeah, so it's not a lot, but muscles in motion expend a lot of calories. So yes, building muscle is the research-backed most effective way to burn fat or lose fat.
So me and you would expend different amounts of calories if we went for a hike.
Correct, because I have way, way, way more muscle mass than you.
Bullshit.
like, astounding how much more muscle mass I have than you. Well,
fuck off, that's not true. Did you not see at your wedding? I was the tank at your wedding.
Were you? How much do you weigh now? Last time we were about the same weight, right? How much are you weighing right now?
I've lost a lot of weight. I'm probably sitting at around 210 pounds. And for people in the UK, that's about 95 kilos.
Wow. So, yeah, I'm sitting at about 100 kilos.
Yeah, I was 100 kilos at your wedding. I was probably, like, at my biggest. But I don't do as much weight training anymore, and I do a lot more sport. Soft. And so, I've like, weight has just come
soft.
Off me.
Really soft.
Oh, really?
Soft. Yeah, very soft. I just did a body comp and I had 183 pounds of lean at 220. So I was about like 17% body fat at 220. So I'm trying to bring that body fat down, but staying hulky.
Fair. So just to clarify for people, someone who had two people who are 100 kilos, the person closest to 100 kilos with the lesser amount of body fat would probably expend more calories than the person with more body fat.
Building muscle is a compounding interest effect. So every movement you do, every calorie expenditure is increased because of the cost of muscles in motion. So contraction of muscles and movement of muscles is quite expensive. So if you're dancing in the kitchen while you're meal prepping, if you're taking the dogs on a walk every morning, those activities expend significantly more calories the more muscle you have, as opposed to, because there are people that we used to call them, you know, couch potato lifters, where they go to the gym, they lift weights, and they do like little to no movement outside. They're very sedentary other than their, you know, 45 minutes of fame at the gym every day.
Yeah.
They remain higher in body fat because they're just not moving. They're rewarding themselves for hitting the gym on a regular basis by being predominantly sedentary.
But then you have people who have similar lifestyles but will have a constant twitch in their leg or their arm, sat at their desk for the entire day, who will expend a considerable more amount of calories. Yeah, I think with your neat you can expend up to an extra 2,000 calories a day just from having a constant twitch.
No, like a twitch, I think it was 200.
Oh, my bad. So that's an extreme.
2,000 is a lot. But so, I mean, even still, like, neat does, there's much more potential for neat. So let's say you go to the gym for an hour a day. And most humans, normal circadian rhythm, I know nobody actually sleeps 8 hours a night anymore, but you're asleep 8 hours, you're at the gym for 1 hour. So there's 15 hours of active awake time outside of sleep and gym. So if you moved for 10 minutes every hour, that'd be 150 minutes a day, which is nearly three times what you spent, 2.5 times what you spent at the gym that day.
150 minutes of movement is roughly about 10,000 steps.
Yeah, ish. Yeah. So, but it's all movement's not created equally, you know, so the 10 minutes every hour is not going to get your heart rate up or your calorie expenditure as high as that 1 hour at the gym, but it's still, you know, it's a huge lost opportunity in most people's day by being sedentary for the other 15 hours a day and not getting up and moving around and working those muscles that they've spent time building.
I just working out my math, I got that number completely wrong, because 150 minutes of movement is like 2.5 hours of exercise, of movement, sorry. Mm-hmm. And it's usually about an hour and a half of walking roughly equals about 10,000 steps. But then I could be wrong, because it's usually about every 10 minutes you can walk about 1,000 steps. So it's about 15,000 steps.
I know most people aren't going to be able to get up and move for 10 minutes every hour. That's a big ask, you know, but it's just putting it in perspective that, you know, even if you did 5 minutes every hour, that's still 75 additional minutes of movement in the day. You know, so back to the question, what's the best exercise for fat loss? I actually do have an answer to this.
Go on.
The one you enjoy.
Ah, that's the answer all the experts say as well. Are you an expert now, Blair?
Yeah. I can't say that because experts don't call themselves experts, but
that's why I said it to you.
If you ask my dog, he'd tell you.
Yeah, an expert in feeding him.
Yeah, he's, what a sweet boy. He's like curled up in a little ball behind me right now. Why is most, if not all, cardio leg-based? Cycling, running, walking, sure. Jumping rope, because it's the largest contracting group of muscles in the body. It's large muscles that require a lot of energy, so it's going to get your heart rate up and therefore put you into that cardiovascular zone more easily. If you've ever done one of the little hand, you know, bikes, those things.
Yeah, your heart rate doesn't even go up, really.
Go as hard as you want, it's not happening.
It's like,
you know,
the ski erg. The ski erg doesn't really hit your heart rate as much as, like, anything else.
If you get after it, it can, because you're supposed to be, like, hinging at the hip Right, but it's, on the other hand, jumping rope or the Versa climber, because you're using both arms and legs, really, you know, the assault bike, I don't think the elliptical does, because you're just kind of holding on to it and your arms are moving with the, you're not actually propelling with your arms, they're just there. But, like, if you've ever done a Versa climber or, you know, anything where your arms and shoulders are actually putting in effort, oh, man, it, yeah, so it's, from a psychological standpoint, if you enjoy it, you're going to put more effort into it. You're going to be more likely to do it more consistently. Like, the time is going to pass more readily without it feeling like torture. There's a joy in the process that people miss, where it's like, if running was the only way to burn fat, I would just be a fat person, because I hate running. It's miserable.
Well, that's why I've lost 5 kilos, because I told you I've been playing sports more recently. And so there's this new sport that's just kind of like growing in the UK right now called paddle. And it's like a hybrid of like tennis and squash. If you haven't...
Is it the same thing as pickleball, or is that different?
So it's like pickleball, but you're in a cage and there's glass behind you and you can play off the glass.
Okay.
So it's way more intense, but it's really enjoyable. And so I discovered it about a year ago, and I just became obsessed, and I've been playing it like once to twice a day. And, you know, you book the courts by either 60-minute courts or 90-minute courts. So if I get 2 90-minute courts, I've been playing for like 3 hours a day, and my steps are easily at like 10,000 after playing 3 hours. And, you know, I wouldn't go to the gym for 3 hours a day. I wouldn't go on a 3-hour walk, right? But this game is so addictive, I found myself doing it for 3 hours potentially in a day. And so my weight has just come crumbling down, even though I'm not eating less, just because I'm moving more than I ever have done through finding something I enjoy.
100%. I love biking. I'll bike for 2 hours. I don't like running. You know, I am looking for a new league, but I loved playing Ultimate Frisbee when I was living in Virginia. It was like an hour game. My watch said I was burning 900 calories. While I don't believe that necessarily, like, I was sprinting and running. My heart rate was in the 170s. Like, it was nonstop movement motion. I never wanted to take a snap off. Like, I loved being out there. But if you asked me, like you said, to just go run for an hour, the answer is no. But yeah, Tony and I actually just got pickleball paddles, and there's a court down the street. So we're going to give it a try once it warms up a little bit.
Do it. It's so addictive, man.
It's still in the like 20s in the morning here, which I don't know it's what that freezing. Is in Celsius.
Yeah, it's probably like 0 to 3 degrees.
Yeah, it's not comfortable. You don't want to be outside for too long.
Well, I'm not going to lie. Like, I have been playing paddle like freezing. I think the worst I played was in -3 degrees. Oh, sorry, it was -6 degrees. The there was balls like in a bucket, and three of them must have been water in the bucket too. And the three balls were frozen together with ice. And, you know, we're the idiots who are playing at 6 o'clock in the morning in the freezing cold. And I would never ever, and that was at like 6 in the morning. I would never wake up to go to the gym at 6 in the morning. But it's crazy. Like, when you find something you enjoy, you'll find time that you never had time before because you make it a priority.
Wait, 0C is freezing point, right?
Yeah, it is 0. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, 0. So 20 would be like -5, you know, minus something. Because 32 is the freezing point in Fahrenheit. So it would be in the negatives. Oh, 20 okay. Degrees.
Oh, damn. You're -5. We're warm now. It's like 10 degrees over here. Way warmer than you.
Yeah, it's lingering, unfortunately. But yeah, so... Can squats be the best exercise for fat loss? Sure. You know, the research absolutely supports that resistance training plus a good diet is the best way to lose fat, not necessarily weight, but fat, building muscle in that compounding interest effect. It can be any exercise you want it to be, as long as you enjoy it and are consistent at it, you know, but I think the moment it becomes a chore, it becomes torture. It becomes watching the clock and staying on the treadmill in zone 2 as long as you can, even though you fucking hate it. I no longer believe that it's the best or good even for fat loss, even if it works, because the mental drain is just not worth it.
I completely agree. And so finding what you love just makes doing it easier and more enjoyable, and you'll find it more sustainable because you'll do it more often. And if people want to believe that, like, zone 2 training on a treadmill, having the incline on 15% and 3 kilometer walk is going to burn more fat, so all of a sudden you start doing it every day and you weren't walking that much before, then yeah, you are going to lose body fat because you believe something, so you did it more. And it's not the fact that it's because you did that method, it's because you did it more that you lost body fat. I think that's what people need to remember. It's what you do more. And obviously there's an element of like the higher you can keep your heart rate, you know, you will expend more calories than if your heart rate is lower, but that's not the most important thing. It's the one that you can sustain for the longest amount of time while enjoying it.
I tend to jump rope between exercises just to keep my heart rate up, but I'm not trying to max out getting close to 40 years old, so it's not...
You old man.
My mission is not to be strong, and, you know, I want to be strong, but I don't need to be max out, you know, 1,000-pound club strong. I just want to take care of my health, so I do more circuit training. I do more unilateral work where I work one side of my body at a time, and I enjoy it, and it keeps my heart rate up, and my workouts are super effective in the amount of time I have, which is usually about 45 minutes a day. If I have more time, I'll spend more time. But I'm also, like, some of my best workouts from a heart rate, energy, fat burn standpoint are the ones where I feel pressed for time because I get in there and I get after it knowing I only have 30 minutes to get as much done as possible.
Yeah, fair. With that in mind, like, isn't it crazy how we've dropped our body fat and we haven't spoke about a single sit-up?
What are sit-ups?
Isn't it crazy that we're not promoting sit-ups and losing body fat? Are you joking? What? We're going against the grain.
Sit-ups. That's the right answer, right? That's what we started with, is sit-ups is the best.
Sorry, that's what we need to finish with. If you want to lose body fat, do weighted sit-ups.
Here's Blair's list of exercises that are terrible for body fat. Running, burpees, leg press, mountain climbers. I just hate all those exercises. It's nothing about how much body fat they burn. I can't stand doing them.
I once heard a saying, and I absolutely loved this saying. If your trainer gives you burpees, then you don't have a good trainer because they're basically making you work extremely hard for cardiovascular fitness so that they don't have to train you properly.
I actually agree with that. I can't stand burpees. I think they're terrible.
I don't think I've ever given a client burpees.
If you like them, great. I know a couple of people like them, and I think they're borderline psychopaths. But, you know, when I see people doing burpees voluntarily at the gym, I believe that they're going to murder somebody for fun on the way home. Like, that's...
I might give it to, like, a 7-year-old child or something because it's hard to tire them out. But, like, I'm not going to give it to, like,
a grown-up. Yeah, story, yeah. Well, yeah, this is a fun one. You know, we didn't really debate each other. I think I just triggered Adam a lot, and then we agreed. But that's always fun, too. So
you pissed me off.
Yeah, I know. I pissed you right off.
But it's all right. We're friends again now. I can't believe you're nearly 40.
Yeah, isn't it wild? All right. Later, y'all.
Bye.
A healthy debate is sugar positive and likely contains gluten and peanuts. This episode was produced by Blair Solberger. Adam doesn't help with editing in any way, shape, or form. Please remember to subscribe and leave us a 5-star review wherever you get your podcasts. You can find us on Instagram at A Healthy Debate or email us at ahealthydebatepodcast@gmail.com. Thanks for listening.